Message to you today. And my scripture reading is in Isaiah 7 and starting at the 13th verse. Then he said, "Listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken." And that, as near as I can tell, those two kings that it is referring to is the kings of Aram and the king of Israel. And Aram appears to be an area which we would know today as Syria. So those two kings were coming against Jerusalem and Judah at this particular point in time. And the rest of my scripture reading is in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace or the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this Sabbath, this day of rest. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that our thoughts turn to you and your creation on this day, and for all of the blessings that you have shown to your family through all these years. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your protection and your blessings and your deliverance that you have to your people for all time. And Heavenly Father, we look to you for our help and our comfort and our guidance. And Heavenly Father, bless the remainder of this service and each thing that's said and done, and let it be to your praise and glory. And in Yeshua's name we ask all these things, and amen. Today, I have chosen for my title to this message is miracles. And I know that you know that the word of the inspired word of the Lord, your Bible, is full of instances of God's miracles to people in their lives at different points in time. And when you look up the word miracle in your dictionary, it will have something like this: miracles, going against or beyond the known laws of nature. I guess you would say logical. Going against nature itself, in a sense. But we know that with God, all things are possible. No matter what the situation, no matter how hopeless things might seem, no matter how out of control things appear to be, we know that God has it all in his hands. God is sustaining everything. There is nothing that's not in His control. His will, His purpose, His intent will ultimately be done. When you think of the birth of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or as I like to use the word, Yeshua, when you think of that birth, I don't know if you particularly think instantly of one of the greatest miracles that ever happened in the Bible, but truly it was, because it was like, unlike any other natural birth. It was supernatural. It was, in a sense, unnatural. Because that birth was a spiritual birth. It was a birth of tremendous proportions, in that the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, God, caused the conception. Not a human man. Yes, Mary was the virgin through whom Yeshua would come, but no human man caused the conception. It was supernatural. And that one theme is the central subject of the Bible. Yahweh's plan. And I would use the word from a human standpoint, master plan. Supernatural. Because it involves the spiritual. It involves Yahweh God. The Old Testament prophesies it. That is, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, Yeshua. The Old Testament. That was part of my scripture reading to you today in Isaiah. A virgin would give birth. The New Testament also proclaims it. The virgin birth of Christ. How could it be true? It was so unlike any other birth, before or since. Must Christians accept it as being true, as being real, as being part of the inspired Word of God? What do you think when you think about the Bible's description of the virgin birth of Christ? Well, the virgin birth of Christ is like all the other truths of His Word. It is Bible. Isaiah 7:14 is that verse that was part of my scripture to you that prophesies of the virgin birth of the Messiah. The promised one was to be of seed of a natural woman. Gabriel told Mary of the coming virgin birth in Luke 1 and 26. Let's go there. Luke 1, 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering about what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." And we're going to 38. "And he will reign and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." Now look at this verse 37. "And let it abide in your mind and in your heart forever. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You see the scripture of Gabriel speaking these words to Mary. And then the angel of the Lord told Joseph. And let's look at that in Matthew 1 and 18. Let's go there. Matthew 1, 18. And we're going through 25. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be a child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when she had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and they shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife." And then we conclude with the 25th verse, "But kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus." So you see how it was that Joseph and Mary were made known by God what was to transpire, and of the supernatural virgin birth. Paul declares Christ was made of woman in Galatians 4 and 4. And in John 3:16 and 3:18, let's go there and read those to speak of what Yeshua is and what is to be of him. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." And we're going on to 18. "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe him has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The virgin birth is one of the most miraculous descriptions that the Bible has in all of its pages. The Bible says that it was the birth that it is. Virgin birth. And I believe it like I do all the other truths in God's Word. The Bible says it. I believe it. And for me, and I hope for you, that should settle it. Mary had to accept this miracle by faith when she heard of what was to happen to her in giving this birth. She had difficulty understanding it. In Luke 1:34, she says, "How shall this be, seeing a man I know not?" But in Luke 1:37, "But nothing is impossible with God." Don't you see that we are to be reminded that God formed the first man from the dust of the ground and then breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul? So why should then the virgin birth be so hard to accept? We have so many other miracles in God's Word to read about. We have God's deliverance from the children of Israel and generally this time of the year. He delivered them after they had been there for 430 years. He opened the waters of the Red Sea so that they could escape. And then he drowned their enemies that were coming in right after they passed through. The waters came back together. Their enemies were destroyed. What about the manna that God provided for his children as they made that journey 40 years? Not a short journey, but it could have been. It could have been about, at the most, a month. And then we're talking about 40 years. It was not in God's plan for it to be a one-month journey. I would say some weeding out had to be done. I would say after 430 years, his people or family evidently had been through a type of brainwashing, and they had drifted apart. They had drifted away from God. And so some filtering had to be done and was done over that 40 years that they were wandering around Mount Sinai and all the other places from Egypt to basically Jerusalem. 40 years rather than 1 month. God's timetable and the way that he works and accomplishes his purpose is not ours. It's not what we would think. He doesn't always choose the strong. He doesn't always choose the way that man would think would be best to accomplish his purposes. What about the water that flowed from the rock? That his people, as they journeyed from Egypt to the promised land, they didn't have water at points. And so they grumbled and complained and murmured and until Moses sought guidance from God, and God performed a miracle in the rock giving water, not just water enough for 10 or 10,000 or 100,000 or 1 million, but water enough that some scholars say that it could have been more than 1 million people, maybe 2 to 3 million people at that time. Isn't that miraculous? How God would provide manna and meat and water for that many people, for that long, as is recorded that he did. God is a provider. He's not only a deliverer and a sustainer, but he is a provider. The miracle of the virgin birth is well within God's power. The virgin birth is an unacceptable mystery until you accept Christ as your Savior. Can we get 1 Corinthians 2 and 14? Let's see what that says. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. How true is that? Where would you have to go to get so-called educated men from some of our finest universities of the land to accept the virgin birth of anyone? Do you find it impossible to accept this miracle? What about the following? Christ feeding 5,000 with a few loaves and fish. Yeshua walking on the Sea of Galilee on top of the water that no doubt was well over his head. Water walking. Do you accept that miracle? How about stilling the sea and the waves during a storm? How about raising the dead? How about Yeshua rising from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, in the grave? And yet, late on Sabbath afternoon, as it was going toward the sun setting and the first day of the week coming on, ones went to check on him being there, and he was gone. How about that miracle? I'd say there would be few genuine Christians that would not accept that as being the one of the most notable and glorious and important miracles in all of God's Word. The miracles of Christ are unacceptable until you accept Him. Paul explains that we have a human problem. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. Again, but a natural man does not accept things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. I think we can see the logic in that. We are trying to understand things of the Spirit, and it's impossible until you have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing you and your thoughts and your understanding. And I would say today to anyone listening to this message by the different means that they can, I would say, make your decision now. Make your choice today. Receive Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua, as your Savior and Lord of your life. And let Him rule and reign. Let Him make your decisions. Let Him be your rock and your foundation and your strength. When you do that, the virgin birth will not be hard to accept at all. The God of miracles loves each and every one of you. We need to respond to His love and come to Him as sinners and ask for complete forgiveness of our shortcomings and sins. Let the slate be wiped clean. Let the blood of Yeshua that He shed on the cross as our Savior, let it pay the penalty for sin. Let it wipe the slate clean in our hearts and lives. And we are promised in God's Word that it will. In Acts 6:16-31, let's look at that. Acts 16:31. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Accept His blood sacrifice for the penalty of sins, for death as being what you really owe. But you are saved through the death and the sacrifice of Yeshua on the cross. The miracle of the new birth will take place in you as you do these things that God requires us to do when we take on the rebirth, when we ask forgiveness of the sins, and when we know that they are forgiven through Yeshua's blood sacrifice. I'd like to go to Galatians 3 in conclusion. And I know that we had part of that as our Torah study this morning. And I think all of you enjoyed that Torah study immensely. And I think I could have listened to that for quite a while longer. But Galatians 3... I have two verses that I want you to take home with you. And I want you to dwell on. And we were already in that in our Torah study. But I'd like for you to remember this, take it home, and review that complete chapter of Galatians 3. It's all important. One of the most important chapters in all of the Bible. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? In verse 21, may it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. But the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin so that the promise by faith in Christ and Jesus Christ might be to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Now listen, this next one is what you need to remember, along with the others. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are sons of God. You are in His family through faith in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 29, always remember this. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants. Are you heir to the things that was promised by God to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants? Not just that you of one of the nations over all of the earth would be blessed through Abraham, and you are. But if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. If you would, stand with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for each one that's here. Thank you for this service. Thank you for these words of hope, words of the truth, words of encouragement and blessing. And Heavenly Father, bless each one as we go forth. And Lord, let them see all of the truths in your word and make their decisions to abide within them. And Heavenly Father, in Yeshua's name, we ask all these things, and amen. And let's read the blessing of the Lord to us and us to each other. Let's read together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Wonderful words.